You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues. You guys, I have a star on the call today. Okay, here we go. She grew up singing in the church and gained national notoriety on BET's Sunday Best as runner-up. She is a powerhouse recording artist known for her soulful voice and inspiring lyrics. She's also an actress, as well as she's even contributed to as a writer for Huffington Post and Essence Magazine. You guys, that's so freaking legit. She's also got a life coaching business called Whole Life, which we have to ask her about. And okay, so I just realized the gift that she is to this planet about a month ago when she sang on the stage at my friend Gabrielle Beckford's cabaret, which I produced. And yes, she has a great voice. It is soulful, it is textured, and it's so flexible. But even more than her amazing voice, she's got an anointing. And when she opened her mouth, the atmosphere changed. She's not afraid to use her gift. Y'all, please help me welcome Latisse Crawford.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, girl. What is up, mama?
Oh, man, I said, well, I need to take her on the road with me. This was great. I need somebody to say these things about me all the time.
Shut up, Brady. You said, I need to take her on the road.
You, my introduction all the time.
You look so cute, and I am just so thank you for making the time for this. I know you're a busy lady with a gift to share, and so I am so honored to have you on the call today. How are you? How's your heart today?
Thank you. I'm good, you know, and thank you for asking that question. You know, we kind of always generally just ask, oh, how you doing? But I don't think we ever really want a real answer. We just kind of want people to be like, oh, I'm okay. You know, so for you to ask specifically, how's my heart? That's so much deeper. That takes so much of a real response. You know what I mean? A real thought process. So I'm good. I feel light and happy and whole and filled. Yeah, feel good.
Okay, come on, Tuesday. Okay, we are here for that. And where in the world are you?
I'm home. Rare occasion, but I'm home.
Well, wait, where's home? I saw you home in New York last.
Yep, home is New York for me. Yep.
Do you travel a lot?
You know, I do. I've been really like kind of settling in to home. I just recently, you know, moved back to New York. I'm a New York native, but I was living in Pocono Mountains for 8 years.
What?
And so, yes. And it was wonderful. And so, you know, I just kind of transitioned back to New York, and it's been a ride, you know, it's been a faith move and just, you know, a walk with God. And so, you know, so many things have opened up, so many opportunities have opened up and so many things. So when I say I'm rarely home, I'm normally right in the city, but I'm moving around, you know, so much with just, you know, business and work and, you know, my son and, you know, all of the things. And so it's good to be home.
You know, it sounds like, and I want to get to this, but I don't want to start with it, but maybe we can start with it. It sounds like you have a, this is so funny that this is what it sounds like you have a whole life.
Yeah, I have a real whole life.
It sounds like you have a real whole life, yeah. Which is that what your coaching business is?
You know, yeah, I mean, that's what it encapsulates, you know, for the most part, just real people, you know, especially my company is, you know, really for women, you know, women of color, you know, and just all that we carry.
For us?
All that we, yes, for us, by us, you know what I mean? Because my story is our story, you know what I mean? Y'all's story is my story. And so I wanted to create, you know, a company that helped us through the transitional stages and phases of relationship. And that doesn't have to be romantic. That's the relationship with ourselves first, and then how we connect, you know what I mean, to others. And so I created, you know, my company Whole Life to really talk about all that, but to really help women find their identity and to empower us without emasculating a man. Because every time we want to be empowered, we have to say, well, I don't need them. No, we do.
Right.
I do. I'm not going to talk about y'all. I do. you know.
I mean, every now and then
just to take out garbage and carry heavy things, you know, but for the stability that they bring to the table and logic and reasoning and just that and comfort and care and protection and all of the things that, you know, a man was supposed to be and what he was created to be, you know, and allows us to walk in what we were created to be, you know, as well, when we create that alignment again and that balance again. So I'm helping women help themselves and really, you know, identifying who they are, why they are that way, and who they want to become.
Latisse, you are speaking to my heart right now, because I feel like I'm in such a transitional phase right now, and it can feel so isolating sometimes. And on my birthday, I sat with some of my Black girlfriends, and going around the table, I'm like, wait a minute, it seems like we're all in our own versions of being in transition. And I felt like comfort in not being alone, in feeling like, okay, how are we going to move into this next phase? And so it's kind of great to hear you talking about it. And also, like, yes, I love, listen, I was a very, 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 very independent woman. I know how to be single. I love of it, but I also love my husband and the things that come with him.
Yes. His heart. Yeah, I was one of those women too that was like, oh, I love being single. And, you know, I don't think it's anything wrong, you know, with loving being single, but you can be single and still understand that you're still missing something, you know what I mean? And that you still need certain parts, even if that's just, you know, having a male friend. You notice most single women have a whole lot of male friends. Most single men have a whole bunch of single, you know, female friends, because in one way or another, we still need each other to function and to make it all make sense. Men can't
The balance of it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Like, thank you for sharing that. And we might come back to that, because that is the vibe. I feel like what you're talking about is such the vibe. And my husband and I just started this like Love is Blind virtual thing. And like, we have so many single friends, and we're always trying to like mix them up, like match them up, I should say, not mix them up, match them up. And it's fun, you know, it's like on the lookout. So, okay. So I have to say, every time I've seen you, you have a different look. You do. Yeah. You are brunette today. Last time I saw you, you were blonde, honey. And then when I looked you up, I said, wait a minute. She said, I shaved my head. What? You, and you rock it all. It is, you are completely, what's it called? A chameleon. Like, you can, you go with however your heart is feeling. Can you talk to me about your hair journey, wherever you want to start?
Yeah. I mean, my hair has always been, you know, my greatest expression. You know, most people can tell kind of, you know, where I am in life or what I'm doing, you know, when, depending on how my hair is, you know. Part of my shaving journey was, I was walking through an airport earlier on. I think it was a little bit after I got off Sunday Best. I was headed to a gig, and I ran into a woman in the airport, and she had on this hat and, you know, scarf, and it seemed like she had on a wig. She wasn't a Black woman. I'm not saying that white women don't wear wigs, but, you know, that's kind of our thing. She had this big extra, you know, type of wig. And so she saw my hair. My hair was shorter at the time. I had it kind of like in a curly fro-ish type of thing. And she made the comment. She thought, oh, wow, you look, you know, you're so brave. You look so nice with your hair. And so she was like, you know, tell me about your hair journey. You know, so I'm just telling her like, oh, you know, I just wanted to cut it. I did this, I did that, but I had never shaven it the way that it, you know, was, you know, more in the recent years. And so she was just saying how brave I was. And so I started asking her about hers. Like, you know, that's not really common, you know, to see a young white woman with this wig on and this hat and a scarf. I said, what's going on? So she told me she had been battling cancer. She had breast cancer and lost both of her breasts. And I think she said her husband had left her. Her, you know, kids were so angry with her because she just, I guess, was so tired of fighting. She couldn't work anymore. It was so many things that this woman lost, you know, and to see her kind of covering herself up because she felt like that her hair defined her, you know what I mean? And made her who she was. And she seemed so ashamed. And to say I was brave for walking around with something that I chose to do, you know, I was like, well, you know what? When I get home, I'm gonna shave my head. And she was like, no. I was like, no, I'm going to go home and I'm going to shave my head. I was like, just to speak, you know, volumes to all of the people who feel like that's what makes us a woman, you know, our, you know, I get that those are the body parts and stuff that we have. That's what God gave us to make the distinction. But what happens, you know, when you have a disease and you have to lose, you know, that part, you know, that we look to so much? What happens when you're not all well endowed? You know what I mean? What happens when you don't have long hair? What happens when you may not be, you know, the prettiest person? You know what I mean? So I went home, got some clippers, shaved it off, and I stayed that way for years, not knowing that it would be the very journey I would have to walk through with my mother, you know, with her having uterine cancer and passing away from it. And my mother had long, long, pretty, beautiful hair. And when she had to shave it off, oh, she stood in that mirror and I shaved it off for her and she cried, 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 cried. I was like, I'm so ugly. I said, now hold on a minute, because you look like me and I look like you and I ain't ugly. So you ain't ugly either, you know? And we had our moment, you know, and, you know, that was really like, I didn't know that I was doing this thing to stand with this woman because I was going to need to show the same bravery in my own.
Oh my God.
So, yeah.
How dare you start us off like that? I was not ready for any of that. And wow, like God can work in some mysterious ways, because I can only imagine your mom needing you in that time. And you being able to be there for her in a way that most people could not, and to be so incredibly empathetic and understanding. And I've never heard of that, Latisse. Like, that is, it really speaks volumes to who you are and your heart. And I'll be piggybacking back and forth between like your career and your hair journey and everything. But I was wondering about like when you're on stage, like I have a question written down that is such a weird question I feel like to ask, but is how are you able to consistently let the Holy Spirit use you like you do? Like, I've watched videos of you online, of you on Sunday Best. I watched you live. And like when you were singing Reach Out and Touch Somebody's Hand on the Sunday Best stage, like you got to a part and the Holy Spirit said, and I'm here. I literally clutched my pillow. I'm like, and it's like, you're just like, how is there, you probably don't even actively think about it, but is there any type of like, this feels foolish to ask, but like technique that you actively think about to just let a greater power use you?
Donna Lawrence was my mentor for a really long time after Sunday Best. And one thing he told me that always stuck with me is that people don't like what they hear, they like what they feel. And so people don't like what they hear, they like what they feel. And so a lot of times when we're hearing a song and we, you know, think that we like the sound of it or the beat of it, or the, you know, it's really the feel of it. Like, it feels good. You can hear a song and it's almost like brings back this nostalgia of the first time you heard it. You know, so if you're listening to a song and it may have like a summertime vibe, your body immediately kind of goes to this warm, you know, joyous place and stuff. And so whenever I approach a song, I'm always approaching the feeling of it. What is this song really saying? What is the lyric of it? And how does the lyric relate to my life and to me and to what I've gone through and what I've experienced? Even if it's not my own experience, I try to put myself in the place of a person who would have gone through that. Like, maybe I wasn't homeless, you know what I mean? But what would it be like with a child, you know what I mean? Telling people I believe in God, but I'm homeless, you know what I mean? And I try to put myself in that place. And then music to me, you know, I love musicals and I love theater. I don't really listen to a lot of just songs, you know, regular songs. But I look at a lot of musicals and I love the theater. You know, I try to go to every show that I can.
Really?
And so whenever I love theater. Like, I haven't been able to get to a show in a little bit, but you know, but before the pandemic, oh man, you know,
pre-pandemic.
And I love movies, you know, so I like the movie theater. I like the you know, stage theater. I love all of it. And so whenever I approach a song, I'm also looking at it as if it was a show or if it was a, you know, a movie, and it needs to start out in a certain place and then grow to another place. Like, you can't give it all right here. You know, when you watch a movie, you want some, you don't want the movie to be boring. You want some intensity and some action, but you don't want it to be at the climax already, you know? And so when I do a song, I try to do it almost like a storyboard, that like, as if I was writing a play or a movie or, you know, something. And so I try to give, you know, whoever's listening the full experience of what the song is saying. And I try, like I said, I listen a lot to the lyrics. So if the lyrics is saying, you know, you was in a small quiet place, you don't want to be, I was in a small, you know, sing it loud. You want to sing it according to what the lyric is saying. And so I try to, you know, make my inflection. You see how startling that was? It was very scary.
I was in a small.
Oh, I just lost you. I can't hear you. Are you back?
I'm back. Can
you're
hear
back.
Me?
You are back. Go. Thank you, Jesus.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm getting text messages and all kinds of things in the middle of this interview. Please forgive me.
You're good. But I promise
I'll be back. But yeah, you know, just like I said, I try my best to relate to the song and then, you know, deliver it to, you know, people so that they can really feel it and relate to it as well.
So here's what I just heard. I heard Donald Lawrence was your mentor. How dare you brush over that so fast? Oh my God. That is epic for no reason. How dare you? Okay. Oh, and then number two, I heard a version of, there is a universal language that is taking place on this earth that has nothing to do with what we're saying. And everything to do with a vibe, with feelings, and what's not being said, which makes so much sense. It's like, going on stage, being nervous does nothing for anybody. They don't do it.
It really doesn't. Yeah. Think about, you know, if you're in the middle of a conversation with a person, you know, or an argument with someone, you know, at the end of it, even if they're like, well, no, that's not how I said it. So, well, that's not the way it made me feel. It made me feel this way. Mm. And so I look at when I'm singing to someone as if it's a conversation. I don't want my patient to be offended. You know what I mean? Or to feel like, oh, that was so harsh, you know? So it's just a matter of trying to deliver the message so it's palatable, so people want to digest it. I don't want it to be too salty. I don't want it to be too sweet. It got to be somewhere in the middle, you know, and somewhere that's, I mean, you know, everybody's not going to like what you cook, you know what I mean? But you want the majority of people to kind of give you a good review, you know, and say, oh, that was good. And you know, you want people to walk away different, you know, than they came in. You know, that's my big, I always hated, you know, when I would go and sit in church and, you know, they kind of be talking about different things. And I'm like, well, when are they going to talk about my stuff? Because that's not, you know, this is great. You know, the offering time is wonderful. And, you know, all of the blessings and amazingness of God is great. But I don't feel that right now. I'm going through hell. You know what I mean? When are we going to talk about that? You know, when are we going to talk about how to find triumph? And when are we going to talk about how to still trust and believe God, even though, you know what I mean? You feel afflicted and you're trying to go through it. So like I say, you know, I always try to, you know, create reality, but also, you know, provide some hope, you know, in the lyric and in the song, you know, as
you
if
do.
I'm writing it.
Or, oh, yeah, you do. Thank it you. Really shines through. I've been listening to your music all evening and, oh, Latisse, your voice is so like, it makes me, I wish I heard you growing up. Like, I wish when I was little, wanting to get into the business, I knew of you. I know we're probably around the same age, but I wish, like, you who you are today, like, I wish, like, I got to hear that, because, like, my mom, she is a musician. She plays piano, but a lot of the songs that she played were just written for sopranos.
Wow.
And so me singing with her, I'm like,
everybody was a soprano.
I obviously am not a singer. I don't fit in here, like literally a future Broadway performer feeling like I don't fit in this world because I wasn't hearing it. I'm like, everybody who I listen to has a high voice. So if I don't have a high voice, that must mean I'm bad.
Yeah. Same here. I had a high voice for years, you know, I mean, range for days. And I want to say it was just, I didn't have an appreciation for my gift. I didn't want to sing. You know, I'll be 42 in July and I.
Oh my God.
Late.
Girl, you are goals. You are goals. How dare you? Oh my gosh. But yes, you have this beautiful, I'm like, we love a range, but also like, I'm just like,
hand clapping for our alto friends out there.
Yeah, come on, alto section.
Yes, because I feel like the altos don't get their, moment in this.
They don't. And the altos usually have the more difficult parts. The friends be singing high in the sky like little chipmunks, but the altos usually have the more difficult parts of the song. They got all the little movements, no little inflection.
Not the melody.
Can we get a little shot? I'll tell you like this, you know, fortunately enough, when I, this is long before I was going into the music field, because this isn't even what I wanted to do with my life. And so the fact that I'm here is, you know, that's something completely different. Oh no, I didn't want to sing at all. But when I was younger, I remember like once I lost my voice, lost the range of my voice and my voice kind of became this thing, I was just like, wow, like who do I sound like? You know, I need someone that I can kind of listen to be inspired by. Like I was like a big, I loved Ella Fitzgerald. I loved a lot of jazz. You know, it was more so because I could listen to it. And my mother didn't know if, that it wasn't gospel because, you know, jazz and blues sounds a lot like, you know, like gospel. So she'd come by the room and listen real quick and I turn it off short enough time for her not to realize what I listened to. But I loved a lot of Tina Turner. I'm a big Cher fan. Like, oh my gosh.
Really?
So, no matter how hard I try, you keep pushing me aside and I can't break through. What?
Oh my God.
I love people who were theatrical, you know what I mean? And so I've always loved unique voices and voices that didn't sound like anybody else's. But for me, the turning point was when Kim Burrell came out because I do a lot of runs and a lot of movements.
Yeah.
Making me feel like that wasn't normal. Like, oh, sing the song straight. Sing the song straight. I'm like, is there a place in the Bible that tells us how we're supposed to sing a song to the Lord? Is there a certain place that says what's acceptable?
Tell Whitney to sing the song straight.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, alone to let me be for my savior. Hallelujah. You know, and when I heard Kim Burrell sing, I was like, wow, there's somebody who, you know, I'll never say I sound like Kim Burrell, but there's someone who has the same texture and tone and you know, abilities with their voice. And so there isn't anything, you know, wrong with me. It just wasn't room for us for a long time. So now I got to kick some doors down, you know, and make some more room, you know, for people that sound like me, for people.
Amen.
Voices that, you know, don't necessarily fit in. And so yeah, I feel you on that. You know, I wish growing up that there were more people and more representation for all voices, you know what I mean, especially on the gospel side, because it's such a small, you know, small but large world, you know, over there. And
yeah,
you know, it is, they do have a kind of a stigma of, well, if you don't sound like this, then it's not that, you know what I mean?
Yes, and I do know what you mean. Wait, could you always do runs growing up?
Yeah, that was just always the type of voice that I had. And probably because of, you know, my influences and who I listened to. Like, you know, when you listen to, while Tina, you know, sang more straight, she had a lot of these little, like, just movements of, like, you know, grunts and, you know, yes and different things like that. You know, Cher, she had that kind of shaky, you know, thing about her voice, kind of almost like Elvis Presley-ish, you know what I mean? This little shaky thing.
And, yeah, she...
You know what I mean? Is this real, you know what I mean? When she was singing with this vibration.
Yeah.
That came with her voice and her tone. And then you have, you know, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, who could scat and do, you know, all of the things. And so I think it was just the influences that I listened to, probably because they sounded familiar to me, but also, you know, because I just loved gleaning from their gifts. Like, man, I want to do that. I like this. I like that. And I always loved just how unique jazz was. You know what I mean? Like, you can sing out of time. You can do this. You can change keys and sing two things at once. And I just always loved, you know, the craft and what it was. And so I just tried to, you know, bring some of that over into, I think the first song I wrote at maybe 9 or 10 was like a jazz song. I don't know if it was really jazz or not.
Hold
but
on.
I thought it was. And I thought in my soul that it was jazz.
So 9 or 10. So you're saying, what did you want to do other than this? If this is something that you've been doing since 9 or 10 or earlier.
To tell you the truth, my life coaching company has way more to do with what I really wanted to do with my life. I always wanted to do some sort of transitional home or space for women, you know, whether they were, you know, coming out of jail or in a abusive relationship or something. I always envisioned myself having this huge campus or this huge, you know, place, you know, and building where they could come to and get any service they could think of, you know, from childcare to jobs to, you know, healthcare, like just anything. And I didn't know at the time it would be for whole life. I didn't see that vision until, you know, years, you know, later. Probably we're talking, this is maybe, you know, 5 or 6 you know, years ago that I kind of saw what this really was in totality, but from a young girl, you know, and I worked in nonprofit, you know, for a long time with kids. And I, you know, just always felt like, man, I wish that as a young woman that somebody would have came and got me at that age and told me, you know, hey, you know, you don't have to let these certain things happen to you. You don't have to go with these type of things. You can be this and you can be that. And you know, I had my, you know, my mom, and my mom was great, but I just wish that there was, especially for us, you know, for women of color, I just wish that there was more accepted for us to go out there and really get help and counseled and just mentored. And you know what I mean? And not look like something was wrong with us or like we were crazy,
right,
you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, it's so many things, you know, out there, for, you know, and when you don't have somebody constantly on you, you know, you kind of, you get distracted. And you're trying to find, you know, I don't think people really realize and understand that as a woman, you know, especially if, you know, if you were one of those women who want to be married, and want, you know, you kind of go from your father's house, you know, and his identity and his last name, and then you date and, you know, you kind of start to try to figure out who you are based on the people that are around you, not who am I, and then let me put those kind of people that match who I am around me. You know what I mean? You define who you are by who you're around. So if your friends are doing this, you're like, oh, now of course, you know, especially when you're in church and you got a pop-up parent like I did, you kind of, you don't go as far, you know what I mean? But you're still trying to figure out, well, these people, I see that they like me better when I'm like this or when I do this. And so maybe that's the right way to be, you know, and I'll become that, I'll be that.
You know what I love? I love that this is the space that you're in and you rock your hair however the freak you want to rock it. And by the way, you are a beautiful bald. Like your face is so gorgeous. It looks so good. And to watch you embrace that and sing about like you just being you. What is that song? Amazing.
Yeah. Thank you.
I love that. And you look so beautiful in that music video. Like for you to be talking to women and to just show that there's all these different sides of us. You want to rock your hair down to your butt? Great. Want to throw a wig on? Great. Did you ever used to go through a phase of straightening your hair or anything like that when you're growing up?
I went through it. I had the curly afro. I had all the hair colors from green to pink to purple.
You did?
To the wigs to the, we're talking about, you know, I was always into hair. Like, you know, that was the thing too, because when I was younger, I was kind of doing a little bit of everything. So I was the braider of the family and doing hair and doing weaves. I was doing this stuff.
What?
Like I said, at 9 and 10.
You know, you were doing the hair for others.
I was doing hair. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I always had the new thing. You know, I remember one time I dyed my hair so red and my mom thought I did it on purpose. And, you know, everybody started calling me red actually. And she kept telling me, don't get this color. And I'm like, okay. And I went to the store and I got something. I didn't mean it. You know, I didn't know it was this red. And so, because it looked different in the store. But when I put it in my head, she looked at me and she just was like, but my hair was just, it was just red. Just, I don't know if it was burgundy or I don't know what color it was, but it was red. And I always kind of did my own thing. And, you know, that's when people are like, oh, you're so fashionable. I'm like, am I? Because I just kind of put on whatever works for the day.
Whatever works for the day and whatever you feel like. Okay, question about this, because once you stepped into like a public spotlight, did you feel like, okay, I've got my hair like this since I stepped on the scene, so I need to like keep doing this? Did you ever feel like that, or was it more freeing? Like, okay, they know me as this.
I would say I felt more like that when I was bald, because there was a cause attached to it, you know, and I wanted to make sure that people really got the point, you know, of what it was that I was standing for. It became a fashion statement because other people made it a fashion statement, but I wasn't doing it for style. I wasn't doing it for style. I was really doing it to kind of make a point to say, you know, this is me, you know what I mean, without the hair, you know what I mean, and accept me as I am and for who I am, you know, whatever it is. And so for that, I definitely felt like for a while, like, okay, let's keep this consistent, you know, so people will ask. And every interview I did, people would always ask, what made you shave your head bald? And I would get to kind of tell this woman's story, you know, and I never found the woman again. I would put stuff on, you know, Facebook, like, if anybody knows this woman, I never got a name. I never was able to reconnect with her. You know, I wanted to be able to, you know, shine light on that, but maybe that wasn't, you know, the
person. What if she was an angel?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you just never know, you know what I mean? Who's in your company. And so I did feel more convicted to be consistent with that, but, you know, I guess over the last number of years, you know, I'm like I said, today I might have a wig on or weave in or some long hair. Today I might grow my hair up. Tomorrow I might shave it all off and dye it platinum again. You know, it just all depends on the day and what mood I'm in.
Are you able to hear from God these days?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My relationship with God, I think, is the strongest it's ever been at this point in life, because I have just really taking the time to go on a healing journey. You know, I think a lot of times we can't really hear from God because we are so broken that it's blocked. You know what I mean? We hear ourselves. We want to believe it's God because it's what we want to do. Yes. You know what I mean? But now, you know, I can hear him so clearly that even when it's a no, I'm like, all right, you know.
Right.
Because most of the time it's no. We be thinking with God is mostly a yes. That's you. That's you. That's your mind. Most of the time. The thing that we
right.
Do
right.
Is a no.
I do think about that, and I look at people who I'm like, I definitely like ping my friends and my family and my church family who I'm like, you could hear from God. I know you can get a prayer through. You can hear from God. And I be taking notes because like God speaks to me in a few different ways. And I'm like, I don't know if this is normal, but God, I'm listening. Like, it doesn't matter what's normal. Like, God will speak to me in whatever way he knows that I can hear him. And so I'm always curious about how he's communicating with others. I moved to New York because a homeless man told me to. And it was perfect timing. I was like, that was not some random guy. There's no way it was. And during the pandemic, before I met my husband, I was always alone, and I could hear him so clearly because there was no noise. I was just alone.
Yeah.
And so like you talk about transitioning with your coaching business, and like having a husband has been such a blessing, but now I'm never alone, which is wonderful. But God is now he has to get creative talking to me because I always, like, my husband's on the other side of this wall, like, which is great, but like, I'm used to God whispering in my ear, and like literally, like, I can hear a voice. And so now I'm like, how can I continue to be best friends with my husband and also get whatever message God's trying to give me? Like, how, like, so that's where I'm at right now.
If I can speak to that, I mean, you know, because that's please, all a part of, you know, depending on who I'm doing this floor plan with, that's the name, you know, of the course that I do, whoever I'm doing this floor plan with, to help them gain their identity.
If it's, I love,
you know,
that.
From a wife is one thing, from a single person is another thing, from a mother standpoint is one thing. But, you know, if you go to the word, and that's really where I go for all of my guidance, is, you know, the position of the husband was always to be the one that communicated with God. And in our submission to him, we hear from God because we follow him and the guidance that God has given to him. So once God gives you a husband, it's not to say you don't need a relationship with God, but you no longer really have to try to go to him directly to hear. You can now go to your husband and y'all can go to him together. You know what I mean? And so I think sometimes, you know, when we are married or in a relationship with someone who has a relationship and a connection, you know, to God, especially for myself, I'm a dreamer, I'm a seer, you know, in my singleness, God, you know, had to always speak directly to me. But, you know, when you get a partner, and like I said, as a godly woman, you should be seeking a partner who is a godly man, you know, I see now that I don't have to really go to God as much for myself because I have a covering now and he can go to him on my behalf. And then when he comes back to me, I can trust that what he's saying is from God. And if it's not, God will deal with him because he's the head. You know what I mean? And so it kind of gives us a little bit of some room to breathe, where that responsibility is no longer just on us and heavy on our shoulders. And what God gives us is just that confirmation, you know what I mean? And that comfort to know, okay, this is what we're doing. All right, this is what he said. I can trust the God in him. You know, so if that brings you any comfort, you know, I hope it does. So don't be, my point is, don't be afraid or don't be alarmed that you may not be hearing from God. You know, I think he's given you the earthly comfort, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that this way, you don't have to go to him on your own.
I mean, thank you for saying that. And that does bring comfort hearing it. I just feel like in the pandemic, when I had no one else, like, God really was my best friend. Like, it was me and my, like, girl, I never read the Bible so fast in my life. Oh my God. I was like, speak to me. Wait, was that like, speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word.
If I can't hear, I was going crazy. And I had a few like experiences that I'm like, whoa. And I just miss that. Like I miss my best friend and he's given me like an earthly best friend, which is great. But I'm like, I want that direct line of communication. It's a different peace and comfort. So balance that and.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's something that I've had to, you know, I think like people who are just kind of in, you know, relationships that, you know, they just kind of let it flow. I don't think they really have the same pressure as the people who are really trying to work a relationship and a really godly one at that, you know what I mean? And trying to kind of make sure that the positions and the balance and stuff is there. And so something that I've had to make sure that I do is to like pencil myself into my own schedule, you know,
because I can get busy.
I'm defined, you know, by my son in one way. I'm defined by my partner in one way. I'm defined by the world, you know, society one way. I'm defined through religion, you know, another way. And so again, I've got all these different identities. It's sort of like a schizophrenic a little bit, like, okay, wait, I'm gonna be this person for you, this person for you, this person for this, you know? And so what I did was like every day, I make sure that it is on my calendar that I have 10 minutes, it's Latisse time, and everybody on my team, anybody in the house, they know that is my time. And that can be for me to go in the bathroom and cry for 10 minutes. That could be for me to go sit in the room and just not say anything to anybody. That could be for me to step outside, whatever that is. But most of the time in that time, that's when I try to take my time. And you know, too, so I give myself the 10 minutes, but even when I first wake up in the morning, I never wake up exactly the time that I need to start getting myself ready. I try to wake up at least 5 or 10 minutes before that time so that I have that time with God so I can just sit with him.
Even if that's what I needed to hear.
You know what I mean? And so I think it's just really a matter of, it's the same, I'll say it's similar to when you get into a relationship and you still have your real natural friends. You still have to find time to get with your girls because your husband is not a woman. So it's the same thing for God. While your husband is the direct, you know, passageway and communication way to God for you, as your head, in the same breath, you have to make sure that your relationship with God directly is strong so that you can see God in him. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we be looking at them like, what you say? Well, that's because we ain't talking to God either. You know what I mean? So, you know, I definitely would encourage you just to, you know, make sure that you don't, you know, like I said, lose you and lose yourself and lose that connection that you had. Because, you know, in the pandemic, like you said, when you alone, oh, you got nothing but time. But this is the real test when God's like, now I filled up your life.
Now
what you going to do now? Now what?
Right. Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to let you go soon because I know you have to feed your family and like all the things and it's dinner time. But I have one more, I have an artist question for you. First part of the question, have you ever felt like you were a blocked artist? Like you've had a time in your life where you're like, I can't create right now. And there was a roadblock there. Have you ever felt that?
I won't say that I couldn't create, like in a sense that I didn't have an idea or something. But I will say in the sense where I didn't want to create, like I was just tired. Just like, I don't want to do any of this. I'll also say that sometimes, you know, because of the genre that I was in, it just felt like I was a little boxed in, you know, where some of the things I wanted to create may not fit, you know, the outline of what it's supposed to be, you know, not, you know, anything raunchy or crazy, but just, I don't really know if the tradition of this is ready to, you know, accept the way I may want to do it. It could just been, you know, video or different things like that, you know? So a lot of times, you know, even in the life coaching field, you know, it's like, because you're trying to balance between people's regular everyday life and then figuring out how do I implement God in that without making them feel like I'm trying to force religion on them, because all of my clients are not spiritual. You know what I mean? So yeah, I've definitely had that experience before where I felt a little, you know, blocked and boxed in, you know, where I didn't want to create or just it might not make sense with the overall picture.
What did you do?
The times when I didn't want to, I didn't. And I was okay with that. I'm very unapologetic about my no. You know, if I don't want to do something, if you can't help me to see how it will benefit my peace, I'm not doing it. I don't care who you are. I'll be like, all right, Lord, if this is you, come down, feed me grapes, sit next to me and tell me this is you, God, because I'm not doing it. You know, I always try to, you know, look at a few different things, you know, and that one is, you know, how does this help me honor God? How does this help me bring people to God? Does this offend people? And are they offended because it's the truth, or are they offended because it's offensive? You know what I mean? And then that kind of helps me figure out how I want to correct. Because if you're offended from the truth, I can't tell you a lie, because it's going to make you feel better. You're going to get this truth and you're going to be offended. Take it to God.
Amen.
I can't help you with that. That's not on me, because you don't want to hear the truth. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's normally questions like that, you know, where I'll sit and say, I know that sometimes when I don't want to create because I just need to have time with myself, is that hurting somebody else, you know, because I'm not creating right now? Or is it, you know, hurting me? You know what I mean? Like when I lost my parents, 2.5 years apart. And I just needed to just sit there. Everybody kept saying, no, this is a song. My parents' death is never going to be a song. This is my grieving time. I'm not writing anything to talk about it. I'm not doing it. No, but so many people could be blessed. Be blessed with somebody else's song about their parents' death. You will not be blessed with mine. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I can't. Because in this moment, I might tell you to jump off a bridge. I'm not safe. I'm not a safe place. I'm a ticking time bomb, and I'm not going to help you. You are going to want to commit suicide. It's not going to help
you. This is not going to help you.
It's not, because at the time you're angry. You got questions for God. You're wondering, what in the world, God? What did we believe? Why didn't they get to deliver? You're in that space. So what song was I going to write that was, it might have been relatable, but was it healing? Would it have made people want to believe in God? No, it probably would have made a whole lot of people leave.
Wow.
Yeah, so relatable is not always beneficial. You know, what does the Bible say? Like, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. So when I don't feel expedient, forget the law. I ain't doing it.
Wow. You know what? You're so down to earth and so grounded and just so unapologetically you, and a blessing. You are a blessing. And it's inspiring to watch somebody who allows themselves to be used by a higher power. And that is encouraging to me. So thank you. And thank you for sharing your time. Thank you for sharing these stories.
I definitely was not expecting to cry tonight.
Look, I'm only not crying because I got my good lashes on tonight.
Listen, and they're cute, mama. They are cute. You look cute.
Too expensive to be crying.
You get the little napkin, you go, I feel you. Where can people find you? Where can people follow you? What can people download? What is out there for us to buy? Latisse. Yeah.
You guys can find me by looking for Latisse Crawford. All of my social media outlets are my name, Latisse Crawford. But you got to spell it right. It's Latisse. There's no R. It's invisible and silent. It doesn't exist. Latrice is cool, but she ain't me. I'm Latisse. Latisse Crawford. So you can find me by looking there. All digital outlets. You know, you can find my music there. And I will have a lot more life coaching opportunities that are for more public. I'm stepping kind of out of the one-on-one coaching and going more into like the self-paced courses and webinars and different things like that. And so I'll be posting a lot of that soon, and the floor plan is coming, so you guys can you know, be a part of that when it's all ready to go.
That is awesome. And will you be doing more music at some point?
I'm sure that I will. I'm trying to find a way to really mix the music and the life coaching together. I think my music is very therapeutic, and so I'm kind of going into
it
more
is.
Of the musicology and the music therapy side of it. And so when I probably do a lot of these seminars and webinars, there'll probably be a musical component to that. But to say I'm going to do another album soon, I don't know. I think there are not enough people that have bought the albums that I already have. I have 3 out. So I think when they buy those the way that I want them to, then I'm not giving more until they actually go and get what's already there.
Good for you. And they're good too. You are listening to it. I'm like, it was such a vibe. And then realize, wait a minute, I'm talking to this lady. I'm going to talk to this lady. Like, you are the real deal. You are the bomb. And I'm like, I want to get as many videos as I can get my hands on, because watching you perform is another level. It is another, Latisse, it is another level. When I tell you I could not take my eyes off of you at Gabrielle Beckford's Cabaret, it was so awesome. Anointed. I really mean that. It was,
thank you.
I just thank hugged you.
Well, look, we cousins now in my head, so we're going to do lunch or something. We're too close not to do something.
Amen. Yes, we cousins, honey.
And I throw down in that kitchen, so I might have to have you come over and cook some food. You say you want me to cook, huh?
That's what it sounds like. I'm over here about to go make some dinner or just going to go to a restaurant. I'm like, I roll at myself. I'm like, I'm tired. So I might need to take some lessons from you.
I got you, girl.
Thank you again. And thank you so much for coming on the show. You are awesome.
Thank you so much.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.